Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 9th, episode 740, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Monday morning start of another week. Jamie is here back from her show over the weekend. So we'll hear a little bit later, I assume, how you did.
I'm here. I'm here.
No cast, no broken bones.
No broken bones, no cast. So I made it. I'll give you a little brief update. There's, you know, I'm here. So what could there be that's that exciting to tell you?
We had a good weekend. I got to drive my pony again over the weekend, ground driving. We're still in the ground driving with his Walmart harness that we made up. And he's doing great. He's doing great. Yeah, Jennifer came along, but she didn't have to do anything. The coach didn't have to do anything. I handled it all myself, and me and the little pony figured it out. So
I'm starting to really like the little guy. And drank a mimosa.
Yep, she didn't have to do anything. She said the training wheels are off. I can take him out by myself now.
You know, you mentioned mimosas, and that takes me right back to the horse show, because State Farm Insurance was a sponsor at Copper Meadows. And they were giving away free mimosas every morning, Jennifer. Talk about a good horse show.
Is State Farm encouraging drunkenness now, or what?
I mean, I'm like, do we need to get insurance through? If you don't have insurance through them, they want to help you out, because that's where you need to go. But it was, you know, I'll just tell you about the show now. It actually went really well. I'll have to do a little bit of detail in the commercial for Omega Alpha, because, of course, they're incredibly helpful with getting the horse into the horse trial and improving his behavior. But in the dressage test, well, I didn't go with the equine chill. I thought, he doesn't need to chill out for dressage. I need him to chill out for other parts. Yeah, he bucked. In the canter part. I'm supposed to have a canter lengthening, and the judge's comment was explosive, which was next to the number four. So that move didn't go so well. So just the quick abbreviated version was, yeah, he tried to buck me off in dressage. And so we ended up in ninth place. We had the slowest cross-country round because my horse was acting very green. He hadn't been on a training course in a long time, and it's a little spooky. So we ended up with some time penalties, but we stayed in ninth place. And then, my God, I mean, he just was a rock star for show jumping. Jennifer, did you ever have those experiences where your horse hit the fence and really hard, and then the next time they jumped it like they skyrocketed over it?
Yes, they think that a tiger has suddenly appeared under that oxer, and they jump 3.5 feet over the oxer
and I usually landed on their ears on the far side. Yeah, I've had that happen.
That's pretty much what happened in the warm-up, is he hit a fence so hard that he grabbed it, I think, with his knees. And Holly Bennett, who, you know, a one who's like an Olympian, and then my coach, all these people are out there, and I just creamed this fence. I come back around, they set it back up. He jumps it, and he jumps about 6 feet over it. And Barb was like, do you want to do it again? I was like, no, I want to go in right now. So I went to the start to the gate and went in, and he like to the point where people were laughing while I was jumping, because he jumped everything so incredibly high. I cannot wait to see the photos of show jumping, because apparently my husband was like, babe, he cleared everything by like a foot. And it was like, when I left the arena, strangers were coming up to me going, man, that horse didn't want to touch anything. Like, yeah, no kidding. Thanks. I was sitting on that. So
now you know the trick. Now you know the trick in show jumping warm up every time.
Sure, I'll just be like, I should cane him, right? Pull him. What was it? Yeah. What do they call it? Just start hitting him with
polling,
the jumps. Why not? Pulling. Yeah, sure. That sounds fun. Of course, for those who've never listened to the show, I'm being totally sarcastic. He ended up having one of only four clear rounds in our entire division, and we moved all the way up to sixth place. And for the first time ever in my training level career, which is very short, and this is my first one back since the baby, I got a ribbon.
Yay! And it's a pretty sort of purple color? White?
It's green. It's green.
Green.
It's beautiful. And again, maybe if I set it out in the sun for a couple days, it'll turn blue, like purple ones do.
That's funny. Well, now you need just to figure out that now you have the trick for warm-up and show jumping. We need to find a trick for warm-up and dressage.
Man, I really learned
equine
a lot
chill.
About him. Equine Chill is going to be my friend from Omega Alpha, and for dressage, guaranteed from now on. But also, I think that, you know, I learned a little bit. We're still learning each other. He's still a bit green, and this is the first time I've had to ask him for canter lengthenings and stuff like that. And that's when he tried to buck me off. And so I think I need smaller spurs, number one. He did not like getting jabbed with the spur. I need no dressage whip, which I don't even know why I carried one, but I did. It was stupid. So we learned not to do that. So I think it was a learning experience. And my next one with Jet is going to be in November at Galway Downs. And we'll see how it goes there.
You need some spur suaders. You need the spur suaders.
I know.
The flat one.
Well, I know. I think that's what I'm going to have. Well, I don't know. I kind of get made fun of by my coach when I wear those, because I think she made fun of the name. She's like, oh, could you please persuade your horse to jump the fence.
That's what you know. It's become a thing, though, right? It's become a thing.
It totally has. She's like, can you just wear normal spurs? I'm like, this is what happens when I wear normal spurs, Barb. I almost get bucked off.
we'll talk a little bit more about that show, too, because some friends of some guests, previous people we've had on our show here at Horses in the Morning, won their division, I noticed. So we can talk a little bit about that also. And, of course, we're talking about Copper Meadows, the show that Jamie was at, the event that Jamie was at over the weekend. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to throw that in there.
It's the Copper Meadows Garden Party and Horse Trials.
That's right.
It totally is. There was, like, tents with misters underneath them, and there was booze everywhere. I mean, it was a super fun horse trial.
Well, all I'll say to that is welcome to the world of driving, because that's what driving show is like. Oh, yeah. The driving radio show sponsors a champagne stop at cross country at the marathon day. There's a champagne stop. So that's how you
Brilliant.
Something.
Brilliant.
All right, Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, on a more serious note, first up, we will be getting an update on how Amy Barrington, the eventer who was injured last week while scrolling her horse at home, we're going to get an update on how she's doing from a family friend. And next up, Brittany Wallace stops by to tell the harrowing story of how her mare Scribbles was rescued from the meat auction and how that inspired Brittany to tell Congress exactly how she felt about horse slaughter in the United States.
It's a great story. Great story.
Yeah, great story. And to round out the day and lighten things up a bit, Horse Nation's Wiley sets the tone with some smile-inducing equine-esque frivolity, so stay tuned for the fray.
And before we go on, just a piece of business here. Tomorrow morning, we will be live with the Endurance Show with Karen Chatton, our once-a-month look at endurance. Karen will be here. She's down off a mountain. Apparently, she got stuck. She's going to have some stories to tell. And that's sponsored by Action Rider Tax. So we'll be back here tomorrow morning live with Karen. But now it is time for our Daily Whinny. Jamie, you know how I'm always picking on you, and I'm always saying you're in the wrong sport because show jumping and reining win so much money, and you know you really need to switch off of the eventing where you win a green ribbon that turns blue in the sun. You know how I'm always saying that? Well,
yes, I know.
My daily winnie goes out to not a horse person at all. See, I think you should give up the horses and pick up a tennis racket because Serena Williams, over the weekend, captured her fifth U.S. Open title and her second in a row, and it's her 17th career Grand Slam win. She's 31 years old, and she became the oldest oldest woman in modern era that has won a Grand Slam tournament. But more importantly, Jamie, she won one of the largest purses, largest amounts ever won by a female athlete in the history of athletics for an event, and that was $3.6 million, which included a $1 million bonus for some tournaments that were leading up to the U.S. Open. So $3.6 million payday. You're in the wrong damn sport, girl. Just saying.
Oh, my God. Well, tennis sucks, so I'm in the right sport.
It is. I was surprised. I heard that on the coverage. We have a lot of tennis fans, I know, that listen to the show. And, of course, I have to watch it. They said it's one of the largest purses ever won by a female athlete in the world. So there
Good
you
go.
Her.
Go, girl. Girl power.
And you know what? It's one of the few times in recent history that now the women win the same amount as the men. So women are on an equal par with the men in tennis now as for the U.S. Open as far as winnings. So that doesn't happen too often in any sport. All right. Congratulations to Serena Williams. And she's buying dinner for everybody in New York City
tonight.
Yeah,
she needed some more money. She was really getting running low.
Yeah, she was starting to run out.
Well, my daily winnie goes out to Jock Padgett and Clifton Promise for this weekend. I mean, talk about ice in your veins. They won Burley, and going into show jumping, they had two rails in hand. Of course, just like, you know, just to show you that Jock Padgett is a real human, he took the rail of the last fence down. Almost got a clear round, but a lot of us always take the last fence down. And so he won Burley. Now, here's what else he did. With the exact same horse, he won badminton this year. So you can bet your butt you will see him at Rolex this spring because somebody else needs to win that Grand Slam at Rolex. So Jock Padgett and Clifton Promise, congratulations. I mean, what a year those two have had. And the Grand Slam would be a nice – see, adventures win money, Glenn. You just have to be the best in the entire world.
Yes. Well, I have a little bit of an interview, a post-show interview that he did over there that he talks a little bit about the Grand Slam. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, play it.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Jock, many congratulations. It's never easy, but you, in the end, did manage to make it look quite easy with that cushion, knowing you could have two down. That must have been quite nice.
It was very nice, actually, knowing that I didn't have to panic too much about time and just ride the round and jump the jumps as best as we could.
And when you reflect on this year, I know it's still early days, but just how amazing does it feel to do what you've done?
Yeah, it is. It is a very special year, and I'm obviously never going to forget this year. You know, I just hope I can be consistent and keep improving.
What it is about Clifton Promise? I mean, he's now to win the two big ones in this country in the same year. Last it was done 89. So there's something special about this horse, isn't he?
Absolutely. He's an incredible horse. He always has been, and he's a full New Zealand thoroughbred, and he does great dressage. He's a lion cross country, and he doesn't want to touch a pole in show jumping. And it's everything you could wish for in an event horse, and he's tough.
But it's opened up a whole new world of possibilities for you now. Will you now be thinking that it's the Rolex Kentucky, the Grand Slam, that is very much on the agenda?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's I need to make a plan now for Rolex and work back and try and go there and nail that.
So overall, when you were a few years ago, you were being taught by Andrew Nicholson. Did you, in your wildest dreams, think this could be where you find yourself now, heading for a Rolex potentially?
You always dream about that, and I wouldn't have been able to say back then, yes, I will definitely do this in this amount of time. But it was something that I wanted and something I worked towards, and it's great that it's happened.
Any time off?
I think I'm going to have tomorrow off. But I still have some events to do this year, and I have some key targets for other horses, and I will have some time off in the winter.
Very well done.
Well, that was Jock Pageant after his win at Burley over there in England. And, of course, he said that he is stationed there. But, you know, the real story here, well, first of all, he was in first and second place after cross country. He actually withdrew the second place horse because apparently they said he had gotten a little bit of a leg injury or something. So he just withdrew the second place horse. But the amazing story here, Jamie, is that six out of the top 10 places at Burley of all shows were Kiwis, New Zealanders. They just dominated. Go ahead.
Yeah, go through the list.
Well, you had Jonathan Pageant won. You had Andrew Nicholson in second and third place. By the way, he retained his first place standing, I'm sure, after that. You had Janelle Richards, who was in sixth, Mark Todd in seventh, and Andrew Nicholson again in eighth. So we had Andrew Nicholson in three out of the top 10.
That's amazing. And what else was amazing was listening to that soundbite. He's like, are you going to have some time off now? He's like, yeah, I'll take tomorrow off.
Tomorrow, half a day
tomorrow.
Off.
One day. Are you kidding me? It's ridiculous.
When we go a little deeper into the top placings here, we had three Australians in 13th, 14th, and 15th place as well. So you have Down Under really dominating with nine out of the top 15 spots from Australia and New Zealand. Just amazing. They are the powerhouses right now.
They are. Our U.S. riders need to start traveling a little bit more and get out there and we need more of an international presence, because as it is now, we're getting our butts kicked.
Now, I will mention somebody that we've had on the Eventing Radio Show, and we might have had her over here at one time or another, is Rebecca Howard from Canada, riding Riddle Master.
Riddle Master,
amazing horse, a fun horse. So that was a good show over the weekend. They had a good time over there in Burley, and just like you did in California. And speaking of that, I just wanted to mention about your California show. Gina Miles, who we had here on the show on Friday, actually won in the open training. She's bringing up some babies. She talked about that in that interview, how she had some babies coming up. So she was on the leaderboard. Christy Nunick, who we've had on the show before. And how did your coach do, by the way? Did she ride?
Yeah, she had two horses in the advanced, and she actually was in first place going into show jumping with her horse Over Easy, and unfortunately took down two rails and finished in fourth on Over Easy and finished in seventh place on Ever Ready, the horse that she rode Rolex in, and also the horse that Luke, my baby Lucas, rode for the first time ever. First horse he's ever ridden was an advanced Rolex horse. Now, for those who don't know, Lucas is 3 months old.
And that was Barb Crabo.
Yes, Barb Crabo.
Yeah. And then the advanced was won by Christy Nunick. As I said, intermediate was run by Bunny Sexton, who has also been on our shows before. So we have a lot of friends with the horse.
I've actually never talked to her, but she's such an interesting woman. I mean, she's no spring chicken.
No, she's not. Was she in her 50s? And I probably aging her too much there. She's probably only 35.
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Sorry, bunny.
She's one of the older riders out there, and she just kicks butt. It's fantastic. But no, she's no spring chicken. And when you go by, you're like, oh my goodness, she's no. I'm gonna get in trouble. I'm gonna shut up.
No, and you always see her up on the leaderboard. You know, she's always doing well with her horses. She really is.
Very impressive. Yeah.
So that sounded like a good time there in California. That's terrific, and a good time over in England too. Now, is that the last of the big major events for the year, Burley?
No. Now, Galway Downs in November has a 3-star. They have a 1-star, they have a 1/2-star, 1-star, 2-star, and 3-star. And that's the one I'm going to go to, of course. I will not be starring anything. I will just be doing training. But, yeah, that's the big one. And there is also Woodside this year, too.
And Fair Hill will be coming up as well in the fall.
At the East Coast.
That's also a 3-star, I believe.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Well, we're going to have our first guest on here in a moment, but what else do we have to cover? Did we miss anything yet this morning?
News? Just a little bit of details about, you know, we'll talk to Ruth here in a second about Amy, but Amy Barrington is an eventer, and she actually was based out here in Phoenix for a long time, and she was kind of the talk of the show, obviously, being that this just happened, and she's from Phoenix, and everybody knows her, and it was just one of those things where, you know, I'm really glad we're going to talk to Ruth today, because to get some good information about Amy and see what's going on, you know, there's just so much flying around, and everybody is so heartbroken for Amy and so concerned for her and her family. So I guess let's go ahead and say good morning to Ruth. Ruth, thank you so much for joining us.
I think we're trying to get Ruth on here.
There we go.
There she is.
Ruth.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Give us, first of all, how's Amy doing right now?
Amy is doing good, all things considered. You know, her vitals are good, and she's really becoming a lot more responsive. They're starting to back off some of the drugs, so she now has an opportunity to actually come back. And I was down there last night. I go down every night, and I read her all the posts that people are putting on Facebook. And she responds to the names, and she, you know, she's definitely getting closer to us. And last night, a friend suggested playing her some of the videos that people have posted on the Facebook page. So one video, you can hear the horses galloping. You can hear them galloping through the water obstacle. You can hear Amy. And she was really responsive to that. So I'm just so encouraged, and we're really excited.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, tell everybody what happened.
She was schooling a young horse, and it's just one of those fluke things that, you know, he's not difficult, he's not dangerous, he's not crazy. Somehow, we don't know, nobody saw it happen, but somehow, I don't know if he took a wrong step and spooked or tried to bank off a jump, and he got a hind foot through one of those white plastic, we call them ice cubes, that you put your Cavaletti poles on.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he got a hind foot through one of those, and, you know, after that we don't know what happened, but what we do know is that Amy sustained a blow to the left side of her head. It looks like a hoof. And then she had some injuries from the impact with the ground with the fracture to the occipital area and the broken nose. But, you know, there was another friend was at the barn. The horse came back to the barn. She gathered up the reins and took him back out and was expecting Amy to pop right back on him. So fortunately she was there, was able to get assistance right away. They did surgery right away. And she's, you know, she's been stabilized. They stopped the brain bleed. And, you know, she's doing good and she's getting better, and we appreciate all the support, but we need a lot of help. The barn is covered.
Now,
everybody stepped in. It's great.
That's what I was going to talk about. Let's hear a little bit about Amy's family for those who don't know.
So Amy's son, Ben, just turned 14 about a week and a half ago. And her husband, Greg, and they've been obviously at the hospital pretty much around the clock. And you know, they're hanging in there, and they've got a lot of support here, and of course support coming in from everywhere. We got a lot coming from Arizona, but it's right. Nice to see. Yeah, so they're hanging in there. Last night they were at the hospital, and when they were heading out, they were talking about, you know, Ben was actually going to head into school this morning, and it looks like, you know, Amy was trying to wave goodbye to them. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It's the little things that you have to really, you know, grasp onto when something of this magnitude happens. Now, I'm reading along with the with her Facebook page now, the Amy Barrington Recovery page, which you can follow along with on Facebook, reading what is going on in the barn is so touching and so makes you so proud to be a horse person. Talk a little bit. You know, she left. There's an entire barn full of horses and everything. Talk about what's going to happen behind the scenes.
We're still going to sort through that. Part of it's going to depend on how Amy progresses, but right now.
No, I just mean right now with all the people that are volunteering their time and taking care of everything.
Yeah, so Amy's barn is covered for the next 8 weeks, no problem. It's status quo. Everybody stepped in. We've got people on a regular feeding schedule. We've got different professionals lined up to keep her horses in training. And the feed companies, people are making donations, right? And it's really been extremely helpful. And just it's a great horse community that we're a part of.
Well, that is terrific to hear. And, you know, obviously she ran that kind of barn to begin with, and that's why everybody is stepping up. Tell us a little bit about the YouCaring.com project and how listeners can help.
There's a YouCaring page set up, so if somebody wants to do a search and put in YouCaring Amy Barrington, her YouCaring fund will come up. And that's a way for people to make a PayPal or a credit card donation to help, and that goes directly into the Amy Barrington Recovery Fund bank account. And so that's there to help. Obviously, Amy's not working and Greg is not working, and there's extraordinary medical expenses. So that's one way they can help. They could also send something directly to Amy and Greg. The information's on the Facebook page, they could just send it directly to the house. Or they could contribute to the Equestrian Aid Foundation. And while that doesn't directly go to Amy, they'll be receiving support from the EAF, and it's a great organization. They help with a lot of long-term living expenses, and I think, you know, we've got a long-term situation. So all of those ways are great to help Amy, and it's greatly appreciated, greatly needed.
Yeah, the EAF does great work, and I was going to ask you if they had gotten involved in this case, because it's the kind of case that they usually step in and do help out a little bit. We're going to post a link to the YouCaring site on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, and if you want to find it, we'll post a link directly to it as well. We wish you guys the best of luck. Thank you so much for coming on in such last minute. I know we didn't give you much warning here, but we just thought it was important to help get the word out about a horse friend in need.
Yeah, thanks so much. And the Facebook page, the Amy Barrington Recovery page, has got daily updates from Greg on how Amy's doing, and we're also posting what we need at the barn, what kind of things we can do to help. If somebody wants to help us write thank you notes, all kinds of stuff. So check out the page and check it often.
Just reading those messages is total mascara alert. You need to be ready to get emotional, because it is, you know, it's our husband writing these updates and. You know, please get him and Greg and Ben a big hug for us, and let them know we're thinking about them, and give Amy a kiss on the forehead, and let her know that we're thinking about her too, and that the entire community out here in Phoenix, I mean, she was all we talked about at the horse trial this past weekend, so everybody knows and everybody's praying for her and everybody's thinking about her.
Fantastic. Keep the posts coming. We're reading them to her every day, and she,
aww,
you know, she's hearing them, so thank you.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, Ruth.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was Ruth Kelly Grubbs on her friend Amy Barrington and what was going on there, and we really appreciate getting an update. I know you had talked about that on Friday. I hear a baby.
I'm trying to keep him quiet.
No, it's great. I hear the baby. We don't often get to hear the baby on the show.
The husband is night flying, and he was up till 3:30 in the morning working on some stuff, and so the baby started crying. So while you were playing the Jack Padgett interview, I had to run in and pick him up. And so he's sitting in my lap right now, and I'm trying to keep him quiet, but like, whew, he's a little gassy, so I thought you might have heard that.
No, we didn't hear that. Well, while you have the baby in hand, speaking of gas, can you talk about a little bit about Omega Alpha and how it helped you out over the weekend? We talked a little bit about it earlier with Jet, and one of Omega Alpha's products helps keep the poor little boy sane during his shows.
Well, yeah, you know, I use a couple of their products because here living in Phoenix or, you know, anywhere where they're ridden a lot in an arena or something, the dust is out of control. So I give him Equine Airwaves just every, you know, they don't need it every day, but when you're going to stress their lungs out or you notice them coughing a lot during your workout, you know, all horses cough two or three times, not all, but most horses will cough two or three times when you get on them and start riding them. That happens, and sometimes it gets a little bit more than that, and you just think, well, the dust blowing around, you want to help them out. So I give them Equine Airwaves and or lung flush leading up to whatever a competition would be. So I thought, I'll give him the airwaves for 3 days, and I give it to him morning and night, just the minimal dose that they recommend. And he didn't cough one time while he was warming up. And you don't want to be that guy with the horse coughing in warm-up. You don't want to be that guy. So Omega Alpha will help you there. You also don't want to be the guy whose horse tries to buck you off in dressage. Now, unfortunately, I was that guy. I was that guy this weekend, but I got smart, and I thought, I don't need the equine show for this. I just need it for cross-country. Well, I needed it for dressage, too. So I gave him the equine show for show jumping, and obviously he did incredibly well coming in and doing a double clear round. So I want to thank Omega Alpha for having that product and letting me talk about it here and letting you guys know that it does work. It just, I don't know how it works, but it's totally legal. It's all herbal, and it just settles them down. And if your horse is prone to be a little bit stressed, not even badly behaved, but just a little stressed out, this helps them as well. So it's called Equine Chill, and you can find everything at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Very good. Well, while we're waiting for our next guest, Uta posted something that I thought was interesting this morning, and I just want to say that it kind of makes you a loser. I'm just saying.
I'm she not posted committed, a picture.
No, you're just a loser. Excuse me. She posted a picture of a girl with a tattoo of Zenyatta. Now, what's wrong with you, Jamie? You were supposed to be the number one Zenyatta fan. You have no tattoos of Zenyatta.
Man, I guess not. This chick got Zenyatta's face tattooed on her back, and it takes at least the upper right quadrant of her back completely up. It does really look like Zenyatta, though. And it also, and then they've got Zenyatta written in cursive underneath it, and it's a very good likeness. I guess naming my dog Zenyatta was not enough. You need to have the horse's face printed on your body somewhere. I got to tell you, it's a little ridiculous. A lot ridiculous.
We were out over the weekend here and at a place that had a ton of, we were at Animal Kingdom, and of course there's a ton of people there, and it was very hot, so girls were wearing tank tops and stuff. There are a lot of ridiculous tattoos in the world, I gotta tell you, Jamie.
There's an entire show, there's several shows actually about tattoo art. I mean, I was watching... Because I sit at home during the day so much now with this child that when you watch daytime television, you realize what crap reality shows are on. And there's an entire show about people making tattoo cover-ups.
of other crappy tattoos. And they put crappy tattoos on top of crappy tattoos. I don't get it.
I saw that, though, and thought of you immediately and thought, geez, Jamie just doesn't – you have no game, apparently. You're just
out
there.
I know.
You're getting old.
I need to commit. I need to commit to my loyal fans. They, you know what? I think the restraining order would be finalized if I did something like that.
You think this girl has one since she's been stalking the farm in Kentucky?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whoever this is, yeah, crazy.
Well, there was an amazing story that we're going to find out about right now. The girl by the name of Brittany Wallace and her horse Scribbles. And that's all I'm going to say right now because I really want her to tell the story.
Start to
but
finish.
It is an amazing.
I want to hear it start to finish.
Okay. And as Jamie would say, this is probably another tissue alert for the show this morning, like we haven't had enough. But let's get Brittany on. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us here at Horses in the Morning. We really appreciate it, and we are so excited to hear your story because it is an amazing story. And not only that, what you've done after is even more amazing. So tell us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, no problem. Tell us, how old were you when you got Scribbles? And tell us a little bit about Scribbles.
I was between 8 and 9 years old. I was going to turn 9. It was in August when I was 8, and she was at a horse sale at her barn. There's like about like 30 horses there, and like I really wasn't interested in getting a horse. And my older sister rides too, and my whole family is like into horses and everything. And my older sister was like, oh, I want to get on a really safe horse. So the man who was running the horse sale was like, oh, we'll put her on Scribbles. And so my older sister was actually the first one who ever rode her. And but I actually saw her in the barn. Me and my mom fell in love with her when we walked in the barn. And my sister got on her, and she fell in love with her, and then, like, we ended up taking her on trial, and, like, everyone rode her, and everyone fell in love with her. We were, like, fighting who was going to get the rider.
Now, tell us a little bit about Scribbles. What kind of horse? And
Scribbles is a female, which is a mare, and she is a registered paint horse, but she's, like, half thoroughbred, half quarter horse. It's just, like, the type of breed she is, and she's a bay mare. She's very, I want to say, not hot-headed, but she's very, she has her own
opinion. Is she a pony?
If she doesn't,
is she a pony?
Yeah.
Was she a horse
no,
or pony?
She's a horse. She's 15.
She's 15. A horse, okay.
Yeah.
Had
she's
a little
like
bit
a
of
a
pony attitude,
was,
though, right?
Huh?
Had a little bit of the pony attitude?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's a pony attitude. I mean, if she doesn't like you, she'll be like, okay, I don't like you. You can't change my opinion. And if she likes you, she really likes you. So
she's a mare.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a mare.
That's right. So now, how long did you ride Scribbles?
I rode Scribbles for, let's see, I sold her between when I was 13 and 14. So like almost five years. And she literally taught me everything. I remember when I was 8 years old, I thought she was the biggest horse in the whole world. And I was so excited to have her. And, like, she kind of, like, we've had a special bond that no one else had. So it kind of, like, that's what determined that she was my horse. And everyone kind of just, like, let it be. Like, everyone knew that Scribbles, like, me and Scribbles had a special bond. And, like, that was my, me and her thing. And so, like, you know, she ended up being my horse. So. And she taught me everything I knew. Like, I was a beginner rider, just learning how to, like, walk trot when I first got her. And then she taught me all the way up to jumping up to 3'6", 3'6".
Oh, wow.
And I literally would not be the rider I am today without her. So.
And now you sold her because it was just you had outgrown her or had gone beyond her abilities at that point?
Yeah, well, it's not that I physically outgrew her. I'm only almost 5'1". So I do still fit her, and it's really nice because I do fit on all the ponies. So I didn't, like, physically outgrow her, but, skills-wise, I did outgrow her. We're all about, like, we want to do what makes the horses happy. And when I was riding Scribbles, she loved to jump. So she taught me I would do, like, walk trot, which is beginner stuff in shows, and then she taught me all the way up to, like, the 3-foot jumping. And, after we got past 3 foot, she really wasn't happy doing it, and I was at the point where I was ready to move on, and she just was not happy doing it. We we're selling her with the mindset of, oh, if we find her a perfect home that's meant to be, then we'll do it. But we're not just going to sell her to anyone. We turned so many people down because it just wasn't the right situation.
Right, right. And then what happened to you is after you did sell her, you got to see her for a little while, right? You would go out and visit her and
yeah.
say hi.
Well, I actually sold her. She's like a versatile horse, so she does do Western and English. I personally ride English, but she loves Western as well. And there's a farm like not even 20 minutes away from where we are. And we actually had pony parties with them when I was like really little, which is kind of what got us into horses. And so I went to go try out a horse at their farm. And that's a really such a story in itself. He's actually Belgian Warmblood from Germany, and he was trained by Olympic rider Norman Del Joyo. And he was at a Western barn, so he was like a hidden treasure that we found. But anyways, when we went to go try him out, they said that they were looking for like a pony camp type horse where just little kids would ride her, and they have a huge pasture, and that's like really rare on Cape Cod where we live. And she wanted to see Scribble, so we were like, oh, yeah, like, we'll just see what happens. And she fell in love with Scribbles, and she gave me the opportunity of saying that, oh, I will have first rider refusal. I can come up and visit her whenever I want. I can come ride her, give her treats, like just like she would be my own horse. And she had, like, there's nothing that I couldn't do that I could do when I had her. So it seemed like
And you did that for
situation.
A while, right? You would go
yeah.
out and say hi to her and everything, and until one day when what happened?
Well, I actually got really sick. After I sold Scribbles, I was actually bullied for a long time, and I ended up getting an eating disorder from all of it, and I was actually in the hospital for a couple months recovering, and when I came back, which was a time when I hadn't seen Scribbles for like the first time since I sold her, I went back and they informed us that they had sold her to someone in New York, and then it was Connecticut, and I was really close with her daughter-in-law who we sold her to, and she did the jumpers like I did. And I worked for her, and so I felt really comfortable because she kept promising me that, oh, we're going to go visit Scribbles, like, on our way to one of the shows, and I'll give you her number, and I'll give you her name. I just forget it off the top of my head, and, like, it never came through. And then, like, there's only so much you can do to get information out of someone, and, like, we're not the type of people, because to me, they were, like, family to me, who we sold Scribbles to. I mean, I was leasing Maybe's my horse that I bought after Scribbles. I was leasing him up there for over 2 months, so they seemed like family to me, so I trusted
yeah.
them. And I mean, like, it wasn't a point of where Scribbles went. It was a point of, if Scribbles is happy and if Scribbles is in a good home, then I'm happy. But I want to make sure of that. It's not, I didn't want to be greedy as in, like, oh, I want my horse back, like, right now. Like, I don't trust anyone else with her. I do trust people, but, well, now I don't trust people, but it's the point of, I wanted her to be in a good, happy, safe home, and I wanted to make sure she was like that. And to know that
okay.
I wasn't given the first right of refusal that we had a contract with really was terrible.
And we've all, and we're with you, we've all sold horses and had to do that at times, and, you know, we've all
yeah.
been down that road. Now, what mm-hmm. happened one day when you were on Facebook? Tell us that part of the story.
Well, my horse Maybe, who I got after Scribbles, he was hurt. And so I was like, I was definitely going to keep him. I mean, at the time when we were selling Scribbles, we couldn't afford more than four horses. I mean, we had four horses when we had Scribbles, and we couldn't afford any more of that because my whole family rides, and, like, everyone has their own horse. And so when we had Maybe, I was looking for, and he got hurt, I was looking for, like, a free lease type horse. And when I was looking through those types of horses, there's a lot of people telling us about, well, there's one specific person who told us about a horse slaughter auction, and we've rescued dogs and such before. So I was always, like, looking on this website called specifically Camelot Horse Weekly. And what they do is they take horses from New Holland auction in Pennsylvania where they would be, it's like a slaughter auction
yep.
where sell buyers go and bid off them. And a bunch of horses get picked from New Holland and they get run through an auction called Camelot in New Jersey the week after. And they have a Facebook website for that. So through that, my mom actually rescued a Warmblood paint cross from there, and we knew one transporter, and that was it. And we got a little dog when I got Scribbles at the farm. They were breeding him, like little puppies. They're peekaboo puppies, and he was like a miracle puppy. And I got him the same time as Scribbles. And funny, they kind of had the same. It was at the same time we got Scribbles, and so he got really sick, and he had kidney failure. And sorry, my dad was talking to me. And all right, so we had Kona. Kona's my dog's name. So Kono got really sick, and he had kidney failure at the age of 2, and he was supposed to die, like, at age 2, and he ended up living until he was 6 years old, which was the day he died, and, okay, let me just back up. So he died from kidney failure this, like, night, and we stayed up with him all night on the couch. And when I woke up in the morning, okay, so my dad wanted me to mention, I rescued a horse named Title from New Holland Auction as well, and this woman transported, and New Holland Auction, where I rescued Title from slaughter as well, was the auction where Scribbles actually was. And so when my dog died, I was, like, really upset, and I do dual enrollment at a community college, and I was a junior in high school at the time and a freshman in college because I did dual enrollment. So I was writing a research paper about horse slaughterhouse, it should be outlawed, and when my dog died, I'm never usually up that early. And so, like, obviously I'm really upset, and I couldn't go back to sleep. So I'm like, oh, I should probably get working on my, you know, paper and something to keep my mind off of him because he was, like, part of the family, and everyone was really upset. So I went on Facebook, and there's this page that one of my friends shared who transported the horses who we got from the New Holland auction and from the Camelot auction. And I only knew one transporter, and that was it in Pennsylvania. I had no other connections. And she shared a picture of a horse that said, this happens every single day. And the album was titled Injured Horse in Need of Urgent Help, like funds needed to be raised and such. So I was like, oh, this is perfect, because I needed examples for my paper. So I clicked on the picture, and I was like, there was a picture of the horse's leg bleeding with stitches, and it was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe that ever happens to a horse, because I never really saw it, like, firsthand. I only saw, like, stories of previous things, and I scrolled to the next picture, and I saw a picture of the horse's face, and, I mean, like, she did not look like anything like the horse I had before, but I saw the picture, and I was like, Mom, I think I found Scribbles, and, oh. I mean, like, I called, yeah.
And in fact, it turned out that was Scribbles you saw that had gone through the auction and basically had, like we hear about so many horses on this show, had gone from sale to sale to sale, eventually ends up at New Holland. And then this horse was saved by a lady who does this, by one of the rescue organizations. And you just happened to be on Facebook and see it. Now, when you went and told your parents, you know, did you have in mind at that point that you wanted this horse back?
Oh, I told my mom that, I was like, as soon as I saw Scribbles, I was like, I want her back. I was like commenting on the picture. I was like, this is my horse, I swear. So I called up, if I didn't know this transporter from rescuing these previous horses from slaughter, I would have never found Scribbles. So in a way, it's like divine intervention. 200, 300 horses run through New Holland Auction every single week. And she was already bought by a kill buyer. She was in a pen, and she cut her artery open, and so the Kelly who saw her in the pen, like, she's an amazing woman. She does this all the time. Like, this is what she does for her life, and she's, like, my hero because of that. But she saw Scribbles in the pen and was like, we need to do something about this horse. I mean, like, the Amish people who were standing outside the pen were like, don't touch the horse. Like, you have no business touching her. And Kelly's like, she's going to bleed to death. She's not even going to make it to the slaughterhouse. She's not even going to make it to the slaughterhouse in Canada or New Mexico. So she pulled the horse, and there was no vet on call, so they had to call a vet and stitch her up. And so then she took a picture of her, and they needed to raise funds. And then Lorraine, who transported our horses from the New Holland auction, she shared the picture on Facebook, and then I saw it. And if I didn't know Lorraine, I would have never found Scribbles.
Well, we only have a limited amount of time. You did end up getting Scribbles back, which is amazing. And ended up getting her back to your house. So now you have her back. Is she doing okay?
Yeah, she's doing a lot better. When we first got her back, it was really hard for me. I mean, for me, it was kind of like a recovering time because it was a lot of things that were going on when I previously had her that I had to deal with. When I got her back now, it was like dealing with all my emotions that I've never dealt with. And for one, that was hard. And then two, the hardest thing was seeing how much it changed her from being at the auction. I mean, she would scream in the middle of the night and kick the walls. Like, someone was, like, beating her up. And it was, like, it was so sad. She wouldn't even walk in her stall. And it was, like, she was not the same horse. She was the same horse to me. But because of how she was injured and how she was treated, she was so mean to all the other horses, and she just was not the same horse that I had before. And it's just, like, with all the love and care and nutrition and everything that I've given her so far, again, and she I feel like just now she finally feels like, okay, I'm home. I think I'm going to stay here, and I think I'm going to be all right. And she's starting to relax and actually enjoy herself and love other horses. And I can actually tell now that she's starting to get genuinely happy again. I mean, she was genuinely happy as soon as she saw me, but, like, you know, it's like it's a traumatic situation. Like, you can't just recover from that immediately when you come home. Like, you have to deal with that, and she needed time to deal with that too, which was really hard for me to see.
So you got the horse back. She's doing a little bit better. Talk a little bit about what's going on now, because I know that you talk about who you got to go to talk to and tell the story.
Yeah, okay, it's a long, there's so much to talk about, I'm sorry.
Okay, it's okay, we gotta be a little quicker, though, so give us the big details.
Okay, well, so when I came back, there's a new horse slaughter bill coming out called the SAFE Act, Safeguard American Foods Export That, and Scribbles, I actually found Scribbles in the perfect time, and I got in touch with Chris Hyde from the Animal Welfare Institute, because he's friends with Kelly Smith from Omega Horse Rescue. And he contacted me asking if I would like to come speak during the introduction to the bill, the SAFE Act. And the SAFE Act is a bill which would ban horse slaughter facilities in the U.S., and it would ban exportation of horses to Canada and New Mexico or Mexico. And he asked me if I wanted to go speak during that, and of course I would. And I've never really, like, spoke in anything ever really before, like, out in public. And so I went and spoke there, and I said I had to speak from the heart, and I didn't write anything down when I spoke because I felt like it wouldn't mean anything and I wouldn't be able to convince anyone and show everyone how I truly feel if I was just reading from a piece of paper. So I went and spoke about my story with Scribbles and how horses actually do have a purpose. And a lot of the times when people hear about horse slaughter, they think of, oh, the horses are just useless and they don't have a purpose and they're going to be put down anyways. And a lot of the times that's not the case. More than not, it's actually not the case. Most of the horses that go to slaughter are actually the healthy ones, the good, useful ones. They are like lesson horses, like Grand Prix horses. They're like some of them are top notch horses. Some of them are just Western horses. Some of them are little kids horses. There's so many different stories, and every horse has a purpose, and it's like horses are not, like, they're not a product. Everyone just treats them as like they're so disposable, and it's like they're not. They have a purpose. You can't just go send them off. Like, they have feelings. And
well, you're preaching to the choir here. So we're definitely on the side with you. Now, you went to Washington in May. You talked to Horses on the Hill. And before we let you go, what was the response to you getting up there and telling your story about Scribbles?
It was like a shocking response. A lot of the people who I talked to didn't even know about horse slaughter, and everyone was very supportive of what I was doing. And through all that, I felt like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And everyone was very supportive. I got to meet a lot of other people who rescue horses from slaughter as well, and be able to share that with them, and actually have someone who understands was really nice, and be able to explain myself and actually make a difference was just an amazing thing, and I think it changed my life and Scribbles.
Well, we appreciate you being out there representing the horses as well. And what girl your age ever gets to go to Congress and speak in front of Congress is amazing to begin with.
Yeah.
It's the Safeguard American Food Exports Act. Now, there are a lot of we don't have time to go into it now, but you can find more. Just search for that, and you'll find more about that particular bill that's before Congress now. And we thank you for coming on and telling the amazing story of Scribbles and how you went from losing your horse to finding your horse again and having Scribbles back in your barn. So we appreciate you being on.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks a lot. And good luck with Scribbles. Give Scribbles a hug for us and a carrot.
I will. Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye. So that was Brittany. She's made the news, actually, all over the place, Brittany Wallace, with her horse Scribbles. And hopefully the work that she did in Congress will help get that bill passed.
It's a great story, and it reads a little easier because there's less details in the article, but just how she found her and how she got the people on the phone to tell her who the horse, how the horse was, had a scar under its tail, and she taught it to bow, and it remembered how to bow, and it was just, it's a really beautiful story. I feel like we had to rush her through the end of it, so I do apologize for that, but... but great, and that's why, you know, horse slaughter is horrible, and our pets, you know, they're our pets, and I certainly hope that we can do something about it, even if it's safeguarding the food. However we need to pass it to get horse slaughter illegal again, Mr. Obama, we need to make it happen.
Very good. Well, let's take a break for our song of the day, and then we're coming back with to lighten the show up. Seems like we've been very serious here on this show for a Monday.
Yeah.
Leslie Wiley will be back from Horse Nation, and we'll lighten things up a bit for you for the end of the show. But first, in honor of Brittany and myself and you, who've all rescued horses or other animals, I have Marianne Kennedy's song, Who Saved Who, which is all about this topic. We'll be right back. That was Who Saved Who by Mary Ann Kennedy. You can find all of her music at maryannkennedy.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am here with Jamie Jennings and Baby Luke. And also Coach Jen is in the producer chair today. Baby Luke's helping us out. He's providing the intelligent conversation this morning.
He was singing along to Mary Ann Kennedy. He loves that song.
Who Saved Who? Well, I got to tell you that we have a new location of the 2020 Olympics has been announced, and we were both wrong. You and I were wrong.
We were totally wrong. We lost. I was going for Madrid. I was thinking Madrid was going to get it.
Yeah, well, I thought Madrid would get it, too. I didn't think Istanbul would get it because I just didn't think they'd do it in Turkey. But Tokyo was the winner of the 2020 Olympics. So that's going to be held in Tokyo. They have committed to putting in $4.5 billion to the construction. Get this. This is a quote of the most compact and efficient Olympic Games ever. Well, it's going to have to be because they don't have a lot of room. So that's why they're saying that. They're developing a rundown area in Tokyo Bay directly on the waterfront. The equestrian portion will be held in... See, this is the problem with having it in Japan, is I can't say any of the names.
Umenioshima, or Dream Island. Call it Dream Island.
Dream Island. It's an artificial island built on a landfill. So that's where they're going to put the horses.
Dream come true.
Why it's called Dream Island, I'm not quite sure. But... you'll be happy to know they are covering the island in a layer of topsoil.
Wow. It's great.
That's what it says right in the article. I was going, no, we expected the horses to be running on the garbage.
Cross country, you have to go through the old mattress and box springs, and then you have to pass by the old washing machine. And you have to jump, you know, all the recyclables.
I just thought that little article was funny. I found that on Eventing Nation this morning, and I got a chuckle out of it.
That's funny.
Speaking of which, I think we have Leslie from Horse Nation on with us.
Hello, Leslie. Good morning.
Hello, and hello to Baby Luke.
Oh, thank you. He is here singing along to the songs and making comments because I have nowhere else to put him. Because if I put him in the other room, he's going to scream, and you'll hear that too. So it was really interesting to take a baby to a horse trial. Okay, it's a little bit stressful, especially since he pretty much cries unless I'm there or his. You know, it's a little stressful. So we're doing
he's
the best
already
we can
been
to get
show.
Through the show. Oh, yeah. He sat on his first horse this weekend, Leslie. He sat on his first horse.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course, it was a four-star event horse, so he started pretty high. I'm screwed. Do you think that's funny? So, how was your weekend?
It was great. It was great. I had a good weekend. But back to the grind today. I think it's going to be a good week. I feel like I'm like a racehorse in the starting gate. I'm like ready to tackle it.
Wait a minute.
Do it all.
We have Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation, whose job is to search Google for silly, stupid stuff involving horses. And she says back to the grind today, like it's some chore.
Back to the grind. You're right.
Yeah,
I do have the best. The best job in the world. Besides
you guys
have a pretty good job, too.
Pretty good. You know who else has a good job is I met Allie Smallpage this weekend, who is also a writer for Eventing Nation. She was out at Copper Meadows hanging out and got to meet her. All you guys have great jobs. I mean, she travels around to horse trials and interviews advanced inventors. Like, that's awesome. How cool is that? And we're all pretty lucky.
Yeah, we are pretty lucky, that's for sure.
Yeah, she pretended like she listened to my show and everything, so it was really nice.
I bet she does. We all do. Everyone loves Horses in the Morning.
This is why we get Leslie on.
Exactly. So what's going on horsenation.com?
Well, speaking of Googling random horse stuff, earlier this summer, as many stories on Horse Nation often do, they start with a question like, I wonder what would happen if I did a search for horse on X website. And so I decided that I was going to do a Google search for the word horse on Twitter. And it just, unlocked this sort of gold mine of ridiculous comments, mostly from people that, obviously there's equestrians and equestrian organizations that are on Twitter, but the majority of tweets that have something to do with horses are written by people that have no idea whatsoever about horses. So I started collecting these. At the end of the week, I'll just sort of run a search and pull up the best tweets of the week and compile them into a post.
So fun.
What 1 week, 20 random horse tweets from non-horsey people. And mm-hmm. some of the tweets are just really bad, just like pointless non sequiturs, random observations, painful puns, half-baked ideas. But then there are occasionally some really hilarious tweets. So it's always pretty funny.
I'll start with my favorite, and then you can go through some of yours. Horse walks into a bar. The bartender says, "Why the long face?" And the horse goes, "Well, I'm really upset about the situation going on in Syria right now."
Oh, man. You wouldn't believe how many horse walks into a bar jokes there are. Just super random. A horse walks into a bar. The bartender says, "I told you yesterday, Phil, I'm not going to serve you. You're an alcoholic." So funny. A horse walks into a bar and steals my girlfriend of 5 years. A horse walks into a bar. The bartender says, "Hey." The horse says, "Sure." Love that one.
That took me a minute.
What did the horse say when he fell down? "Help, I'm falling and I can't giddy up." I put glasses on a horse. I call it a seahorse.
There's one guy who posted a picture of a chicken finger, and it looked like had a horse head, and he was like, "Oh my God, my chicken strip is a seahorse." # fried seahorse. So funny. Oh my goodness. It just sort of random. Before tails were invented, horse buttocks were dusty, like, all the time. Like, an apple a day means there's a good chance you're a horse.
Very funny. Very funny.
Man.
Yeah, check that out on horsenation.com. I hope you keep this type article going every week. Just a random collection of horse tweets every week would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. And now go ahead, Glenn.
Well, I was just going to say, you did one, too, that I didn't know about, and I have to throw my 2 cents in on this one. You always are finding celebrities that are into horses. You found the first celebrity that's into driving horses.
Right. Yeah.
Jane Seymour.
Yep. She started digging around and found that Jane Seymour is a driving enthusiast. Who knew? I guess she had to ride some and drive some in Medicine Woman. What was that show?
Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Wait,
I have a story. Before you go any further, I have a story about Jane Seymour, because she did not think I was very funny when I met her and we were on the red carpet for the Screen Actors Guild Awards, and she comes up and she's, designing jewelry, and she has like some some serious movies that she was in, but she was also in Wedding Crashers, if you recall. And she was like the mom who kept trying to sleep with Vince Vaughn. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, she did not appreciate me going up to her going, kitty cat. I was like, she was kitty cat. Remember, she's like, kitty cat. And she apparently did not appreciate that, nor think I was very funny, because she wanted to talk about her more serious roles. But I was like, you're kitty cat, kitty cat. So maybe she'll be in better spirits talking about horses. Next time I get that opportunity, we'll talk about driving.
Right. You have the most random celebrity stories of anybody.
Dude, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I know. Usually my stories involve pissing them off, though. So
yeah. Like there is a trend here. Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, who was it? The one was it Matt Damon? Was it Brad Pitt? Somebody was sitting at the bar, or standing at the bar, or something. There's a great story.
I don't know what you're talking about. That never happened. I don't know what you're talking
about.
That
would have been Leonardo DiCaprio. Leonardo.
Yeah,
maybe?
That's who it was. Leonardo DiCaprio. Yep.
No, that wasn't real. He loves me. We're still friends.
We saw Leonardo was at the U.S. Open, and they picked him out of the crowd. And I think Leonardo's actually gained a little weight and is actually finally starting to look a little older now.
Huh. So hot. He's so hot.
Still hot.
God. Move on. Let's get past it.
How about
one day,
Leslie,
I'll tell you about the time. I'll tell you about the time I fell on George Clooney. But that's another story for another day.
What?
Well, tell us about being tough to be a pony.
Sorry, the what?
The pony.
How about the 10 comebacks for when someone says riding is easy?
Oh,
because, you know, this.
Yep.
Because this happens all the time, doesn't it? Really? To horse people?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially, I mean, this was, like, a major stress for me, probably mostly in, like, middle school, you know. People, friends are like, riding's not a sport, you know. And you always feel, you know, you always get your feelings hurt, and you're like, yes, it is. But, like, I was never, like, witty or clever enough to have any, like, big comebacks. So now, 20 years later, Carla Lake, who's Horse Nation's weekend editor, has compiled sort of a list of verbal comebacks that you can bust out whenever someone's like, you know, the horses do all the work, or riding's not a sport.
Yeah, Jamie, you're not allowed to say yours on the air. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm not saying a thing.
I like a couple of them. Here's one. It's in the Olympics for a reason, but is fencing, you know, and some of the others. So I don't know if you can really use that
fencing,
one with most.
Fencing is a skill. Fencing, I could never fence, so I respect that. I respect that.
Well. Now, too, listen, when I say to people, I'm like, horseback riding is an Olympic sport. And I said to my brother, I said, it's the only Olympic sport where men and women compete as equals. And my brother goes, yep, see, that's why it's not a sport, because men are clearly better than women. I was like, you're such a jerk. He's like, if women are so competitive like men are, then it's not really a sport. I'm like, I hate you. So be careful with that one. Be careful.
She's just provoking you.
I know.
I like the one she says, yeah, it's just like skiing. The mountain does all the work. That's
my favorite.
That's funny.
The last time I checked, a football didn't have a mind of its own or weigh over 1,000 pounds. Good point.
I love it.
Ever tried to move 1,500 pounds with your legs? And the ultimate comeback, all right, come ride my horse to see if you can walk the next day.
Exactly.
I like that one. Well, you had a post, too, that I liked and would encourage everybody. They have to go. We can't really talk about this one too much. They have to see the pictures. But the top, because now that I own a pony, the top 7 reasons why it's tough to be a pony. And you found the cutest reasons and the cutest pictures to go with those reasons. So everybody has to hop over to Horse Nation and check that out. I really like that one. That one was a lot of fun. I got something for both of you. This was in on a blog called Return of Kings, which is for manly men, apparently, is the subtitle. And I don't know how I came across I came across it because it mentioned horse in one of the articles, and it showed up on my feed. Otherwise, I would have never found this one. And it's all talk. It's this blog about for macho men talking about being masculine. And it also talks about dating. And a lot of it's not fit for work, okay? So a lot of these articles you wouldn't want to bring up at work. But there was one that caught my eye, Leslie, and it was one called, the title was Avoid Women with Horses. And, of course, then I picked right up being married to horse husband of that one. And I just want to read to you a couple of the first sentences. If there is one lesson I could pull from the entirety of my economic experience, research, data, and philosophizing, and that one lesson would be apply universally regardless of context, environmental, or conditions, it would be without a doubt avoid women with horses. Horses are evil, the devil's representative on this planet. Nothing good comes from them, nothing good will ever come from them, and if you're smart, you will avoid them and the women that are attached to them. So this is the battle you guys have to fight.
Who wrote this? Is this my brother? Is that my brother's blog? Seriously?
Is his last name?
Oh,
wow. Because I got to tell you, Glenn, Leslie, I don't know if you have experienced this, but my brother is coming to visit me in a couple weeks, and he says, well, let's go out and let's go to a Halloween party and let's find some chicks, you know? And I was like, I'll just have a Halloween party at the house and then, you know, I'll invite everybody over. And he's like, oh, please. Like, I want to hang out with one of your horse friends. They're all crazy. Why do horse chicks get the crazy tag? I mean, I think all women are crazy. It's not just horse people.
Well, okay. Wait a minute. He addresses that. Let me read you this paragraph. Women are already a bad cocktail unto themselves. Unchecked and untempered, they'll run feral and ruin the best of men. But you combine them with horses, and John freaking Wayne would have had difficulty in taming them.
I hate this guy. This guy's a jerk. I bet he's single, and he's just bitter because some horse chick broke up with him.
Oh, yeah. You could read this guy's mind because that's the next part. What he's, yes, because his mother owned horses. That was the real reason why. He goes on to explain how his mother had more time for the horses than the kids and blah, blah, blah. So the mother, you know, the mother was all at fault here and didn't care about her father and his father. And so that was like, you know, I wonder how many kids do. See, that's what baby Luke's going to be like when he grows up. He's going to be writing articles like this.
No, baby Luke's going to grow up in a loving home where the husband and wife love each other, mom and dad love each other, and he's going to have the most perfect pony in the world. I'm already pony shopping, so send me your ads, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had a guy who, when they met you, just said, that's it, I'm not, I can't go out with you? You ever had a guy like that, just couldn't do it because you had horses? Either one of you?
Go ahead, Leslie.
I've always been the one to sort of preemptively strike myself down. Like, I remember the first date that I ever went on was in high school, and we just, like, went to see a movie or something, and, like, you know, and I called him a few days later. I mean, we, like, talked on the phone, like, maybe twice after that. And, like, and he was into me, but, I mean, it wasn't like he was being super demanding or anything. And I just called him, and I was like, listen, I just don't have time to, like, I've got my horses going on. I've got too much going on to, like, deal with this relationship right now. I was like, really?
Like, we went to a
date. A dramatic much? Yeah. But I could already feel him, like, infringing on my horse life, so I had to, like, shut it down immediately.
I'm with you, girl. I'm with you. You know what? I dated guys who were like, oh, you have horses? You know, and then you date them for a while, and they're like, maybe I should get my own horse. I'm done with you. Don't infringe on my time and my property. Now, obviously, with the husband, it's a little different. But other guys, like, I don't want you to do that. That's my thing. Get your own thing.
And if you're, I think the successful marriages with people with horses have been with guys who have their own thing. Don't you think?
Right. I agree. Definitely.
And Leslie, what's your husband's thing, Leslie? Or are we allowed to ask?
Oh yeah. He is into the sports ball, various types of sports ball, football, soccer. He's a big soccer fan. And he's a musician too. So he's got tons going on. So he doesn't to keep him entertained.
He's a man's
normal.
Man.
He's a man's man.
And rock and roll. Yeah.
He probably reads the blog that I just read.
He writes it.
He writes it.
Secretly, yeah.
Thank you, Leslie, from horsenation.com. We appreciate you being here. We'll talk to you again.
Sure. Thanks,
bye,
guys.
Leslie.
Have a good week. Bye.
Bye, Leslie. I do want to remind everybody that tomorrow we will have the Endurance Show with Karen Chatton by Action Rider Tack. We'll be back talking all about endurance riding. I know she has some terrific guests lined up. And then on Wednesday, we have a special show planned for you as well. We are going, and I actually had some emails about this. Last year was the 10th anniversary of 9/11, and Wednesday is 9/11. And I did a special memorial show that I put together, spent a lot of time on, and I've had a couple of emails now asking if we were going to replay that this year, and we are going to do that on Wednesday. I will replay the memorial show that I put together for 9/11 because I think it's important that we don't forget. And then, Jamie, you'll be here on Friday for Really Bad Ads, and you know, back again for that. I think you're going to be at home, right? You're not showing this weekend.
Nope, I will be here, and we'll be reading your bad ads live, so make sure you get them in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Send them in. We've got a slew of awesome prizes. So you know, get them in to Jennifer. Search Craigslist, Dream Horse, wherever you go to find your ads, and send us the really ridiculous ones.
And we appreciate that. We had a good batch last Friday. We had a good time with that. That was a lot of fun. I got to leave you. So let's call it a day here. Let you get back to taking care of your baby. And as I said, we'll be back tomorrow morning live here on Horses in the Morning. All the other shows from last week on the Horse Radio Network are out. So hop on over to horseradionetwork.com. Download our app. And I'm happy to announce that all of the new shows, Blaze Kids Radio and Chasing a Fox in a Little Black Dress, are now on the app. They are there as well. If those of you that have the app, if you open it up, you'll see it is updated, and the new shows are on there. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, please do go to the App Store on iOS or Android and just search for Horse Radio Network. It'll pop up. It's one of the easiest ways to listen to the show. Well, Jamie, you have a terrific week, everybody, and we'll talk to you later in the week, Jamie, and we'll see everybody else here tomorrow morning.
Sounds good. Have fun playing with that pony. I want you driving him with a cart by Friday. Got it?
Okay. Can I get the cart first?
You better hurry. You got till Friday. Hey, Neuter and Gil. Have a great week. We'll talk to you Friday. Mm-hmm.